Welcome again to Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom. Today I'm going to be working with two main goals. The first one is to talk about STEM versus STEAM, which one is correct. Are either really welcome in today's modern classroom? And the second one is a bit more personal. I'm going to try to say and ah less through this podcast. Those people who know me know that I talk really quickly, and sometimes it takes a little while for my brain to catch up where my mouth has taken me. And are a way for me to stop and collect my thoughts. I do it really often. So I apologize if you've been listening to me umming and ahring with the previous podcast. Thank you, by the way, to those people who have been tuning into the podcast. It's been super exciting to see those stats grow. As some of you know, I'm doing this podcast as part of a larger project where I'm trying to gauge my effectiveness at working inside of my community and outside my community in terms of digital technology in particular, and teaching of digital technology across not only my classroom but within my district. So thank you very much for those listening in. It really is helping me to collect some statistics. And I just appreciate your support in this journey. So first off, STEAM versus STEM. So this week I've been part of lots of different conversations, both online and in the real world, about what STEM means and whether STEAM is actually even a thing. So you guys all know, because you're here listening to my techie classroom, that STEM is science, tech, engineering and maths. And it's become a bit of a buzzword in the education world. We've looked at STEM as a way to describe those project-based learning activities that we're running in our room. And we're looking to see that experiences are authentic, real world, that they're building skills that kids may need in the future in their adult lives. So, you know, STEM has become a little bit of a catch cry for anything that's innovative and exciting in your classroom. So are the activities we're doing really STEM is the question. There's lots of schools of thought out there at the moment. Some say that it can only be described as a STEM activity where it incorporates science, tech, engineering and maths. Some say that can be just a little injection of maths in the form of measurement or something like that. Others say that those four areas, science, tech, engineering and maths, should have content that is learned, so new content for students to pick up, and also have an opportunity for teachers to assess in those four key learning areas. Okay, so what does that really mean? Okay, if we are going to be looking at teaching content and assessing that content in science, tech, engineering and maths, this means that those STEM activities and sessions will actually be quite lengthy on the whole, or they'll be a culmination of perhaps a few weeks or a term's work. So for those who are purists and believe that that's the way that STEM should be, then perhaps your STEM activities are only running towards the end of a term after you've taught a lot of content. And this would be a way for students to cement their understanding and demonstrate their knowledge there by incorporating those four elements into a bigger project that incorporates a whole lot of content. Others say that STEM can be science, tech, engineering and maths, but it may just be an opportunity for kids to take some understanding that they have and use it to make a solutions-based approach to a known problem, I think is the best way to say it. So we're looking at giving kids opportunities to solve problems, and that anecdotally, teachers can then collect evidence and data about the students' understanding across science, tech, engineering, and maths. So that's sort of a step down. The next step down is to say that STEM could be just looking at a couple of elements from that STEM acronym. So, you know, maybe science and tech, or science and maths, or perhaps three of those elements, you know, a bit of science, engineering and maths. And looking at those in real world type scenarios and having the students able to go off and teach themselves and one another and then come back to the group with a solution that incorporates that content, knowledge and understanding as part of, you know, a solution that they're going to present to the group. So In these conversations I've been having this week, online and in the real world, there's quite a bit of arguing going on. Not awful arguing, just robust conversations, let's say. And everyone has their own idea about whether something is STEM or not. And, you know, they can argue that point quite successfully. And I think that's pretty wonderful because, you know, we're all working in different contexts, different age groups, different skill levels for ourselves and for our students. And so I think that's pretty great that at the moment that term STEM is kind of fluid and you can buy into it at the level that you need to buy into it. Of course, there are some schools out there who are really promoting STEM education, and those schools, of course, will have their own definition of what STEM education is. And so if you are an early STEM teacher, perhaps go talk to your administration team or to your cluster group about what STEM means in your setting, because it may be that you have a really defined idea out there in your group of teachers and your group of educators and for your students that you really need to follow. But for those of us out in the classroom who are just sort of starting to get our feet wet, you know, it probably comes down to your personal preference there, and really talk to your colleagues, talk to someone about it, because if you find yourself arguing one way or another, I guess you can tell where your feelings lie, whether STEM has to be all four of those areas of content covered, whether you're going to assess all four, or whether you're really just looking for problem-based activities to engage your students. Because really, you know, this whole STEM revolution has come about because there's such a need for high school students to stay in science, tech, engineering and maths, so that we have students to send on to universities to take up these jobs of the future, which, you know, we've all heard, we don't even know what they are right now, but you are going to need some of these 21st century skills to do. So it, for lots of us, it's just about that 21st century learning, about resilience, about lateral thinking, working with others, working as part of a team, looking at the problems in front of you and doing lots of mini problem solving activities inside of one bigger problem solving activity. And I guess in me talking like this right now, I guess that's where my feeling is. I do, however, believe that if it's going to be classed as STEM, that it should be probably at least three of those letters. If it's just one, really you're just teaching science or you're just teaching tech or whatever it is. If it's two, yeah. But I think it really should incorporate elements of those three. Sometimes one of them might be looking at prior knowledge, work that you've already covered in the last year or recently, but some of it should certainly be new ways of thinking the students have been encouraged to work with. So in my classroom this week, I'm doing an activity on Monday. I haven't actually decided if it's STEM or not, and in fact, if it's STEAM or not, because for any of you who know me personally, you know that the arts are a really, really big part of my life. Teaching has an associated emotional burden, as you all know. We come home, we're still thinking about the day, we're thinking about tomorrow, we're thinking about our students, we're thinking about whether they were happy or not, who's had enough lunch, who needs, you know, help getting some new socks or a, you know, a better t-shirt for school photos this week. You know, our brains are ticking over with the needs of our students. So when I come home after one of those days where I just cannot switch off, I pull out some paint. My poor kitchen table has got lots of paint spatters on it. My family, I'm so lucky to have them. They love me despite the paint spatters on floors and tables and things, because they know that this is a really important part of keeping mummy sane, that I need that time to sit down and, you know, add some detail to whatever bug or bird or tree painting I'm doing. I'm no great artist, let me just put that out there right now. I really am not. I really enjoy it. I love it. I love that when I'm working in arts, it takes my mind off everything else. I'm also a little bit of a theatre nerd. I love watching theatre. In the last couple of years, I've included myself into some theatre work. I play a lot of instruments really poorly, but it's a good way for me to concentrate on just one thing and push everything else out of my mind. And I know that for a lot of kids, the arts are really important, and they have been starving for arts education in the last few years because national curriculum, at least in Queensland, we haven't been required to incorporate that new curriculum into our classrooms. And so in a lot of places it's fallen by the wayside a little, because there have been these other important avenues of science, maths and English, that we've really been just, you know, promoting those elements of learning above all else in the last few years. So, STEAM. Would this activity that I'm doing tomorrow be classified as STEAM? Let's see what you think. In my classroom, we've been working in English in short story realm. So we've been looking, analysing short stories. In order to get the kids to think about that story arc, orientation, complication, resolution, solution, I had them design their own dragon. Now, these kids are 10 and up. Some of these dragons are pretty terrifying. Some of them are cute and fluffy and cuddly and blow bubbles. Others are, you know, raining down ice or fire, or, you know, they've got scales and flames and huge flapping wings. So there's a huge variety there, and I just let kids go with their imagination, decide what their dragon was like. Then, as part of the short story genre, I got them to put their dragon into a situation, and they had to think about the challenges and then resolve them. So the first one was looking at taking their dragon for a walk. So thinking about what it would be like to take a dog for a walk. What if that dog was a dragon? What would happen next? And really thinking about a complication that you're going to solve by the end of a short story. They did a pretty good job of that. Next, I got them to take their dragon to a bathroom. We said to make a short story work, we needed to have some element of time crunch there. So they were imagining they're getting ready for a wedding, or mum or dad are coming home and the dragon shouldn't be in the house, or, you know, open house inspection coming up or something like that. And their dragon needed to use the bathroom for whatever reason, whether they're getting their dragon in a headlock to brush its teeth, trying to make it shower, or sharpening its teeth and claws. You know, depending on the type of dragon you had, depended on how you were going to interact with that dragon in the bathroom. And then they, of course, had to get some sort of problem, not too hard, but then they had to solve it by the end of the story. So we've been looking at that idea of heat and cold and those sorts of things anyway, because simultaneously we've been looking at the properties of materials. We did a bit of a STEM proto-storming last week and looked at the properties of materials, and so this week we're actually going to be looking at a bit of a crime scene. Straight out of the primary connections modules with a little bit of artistic flair attached. So I've got a big sheet of white plastic. It's going to go down on the floor, and then I have some things from my kitchen that are going to have been affected by heat. So chocolate that's been melted and in some cases burnt. Oh, that's my washing machine having a bit of a go right beside me. My apologies. So looking at chocolate that has been melted and in some cases burnt, ice cream or gelati actually that has melted and separated into the fluffy part and the icy part on the that's sort of runny on that sheet of plastic, an egg which has been partially cooked, cracked and cooked, some salt that's fallen into a glass of water, and so on. So lots of sort of kitchen disasters that have been affected by motion and heat. And we're going to look at those materials and look at their properties that we knew were the case before this event happened and afterwards. Now, some students might look at this and say, oh, a dragon has been there, because we have been talking about this in our classroom. Others might come up with a more realistic approach as to what happened. And so we're going to look at our little why charts about what we see, what we think, and some questions that we have, what we want to know. And so they can describe what they can see, and looking at those materials and the properties that we see evident there, what we think happened. Like I said, some might want to incorporate the dragon there, some may not, and what we want to know, so questions that we want answered. They're going to observe that, they're going to look at how things have changed, and then later in the week they're going to actually look at extracting, say, the salt from the water, or getting the gelati back into its tub in the a way that's suitable for people to eat, whether that's possible or not. So whether they'll need to blend and mix those two elements together to make it back into a gelati shaped format. The chocolate, can they get it back into a you know, reasonable edible type of thing? So they're going to be looking at designing solutions. So STEAM, then they're going to be presenting their information back to their classmates. STEAM, is it STEAM? Is there science there? Well, quite obviously, yes, there's quite a bit of science there because we're looking at properties and materials and change and whether things can be changed back or not. Tech. Is there really tech in there? Well, depending on how those students are going to make their change, to organise the way to change their properties of their materials back to the way it formerly was, there may be some elements of tech in there. Certainly, I'm not pushing tech with this particular scenario because I don't think we really have the tech that could support it in a realistic way. Of course, there'll be a few iPads lying around. They may want to take some photos and things like that. So there could be elements of tech, but I'm not enforcing that in the classroom. Engineering. So later in the week, when they're asked to extract their materials and put them back the way they originally were, yes, there'll be some engineering there. They're either going to design a process, so things that they're going to do, or they're going to design an actual contraption to do that extraction, say, of salt from water. There certainly will be some engineering in there. Will all students do engineering? That is a question. Some of them may go more the research approach and research whether it can go back or not, and then just tell the classmates. So engineering may or may not be there. It will be there for some students, but possibly not all. Maths. Will there be maths there? Well, you know, in the little gelati tub, I've got those little pomegranate gelati just from Aldi. You can get the little tiny tubs of them. They're cardboard, so recyclable, a bit sustainable. It does have the measurement on there of the gram weight of the gelati, so they may need to weigh the container and then put the gelati back in and weigh the container again to see the net weight of that gelati to see whether they were successful in getting it all out. Same goes with the salt. I'll probably tell them that I got, you know, 10 grams of salt and threw it out there, so they will be able to measure to see if they can get that 10 grams of salt back. And there are some other opportunities for maths measurement in there, you know, perhaps volume of melted chocolate, and see if when it sets they can displace the volume using water, or, you know, whatever other ways they're going to do that measurement. And of course, I'm not leaving them out there in the darkness. I will be there as a facilitator to help them. They'll have questions. I can suggest ways to work if they get stuck. So I can certainly ensure that every student does some measurement in there. Whether or not that's a big part of their solution will be up to them and how they choose to view this problem and how they choose to craft their solution. So anecdotally, I'm going to collect some information on measurement. With the arts, here's the arts. I miss the arts then. It will depend on how they choose to share that knowledge with their students, fellow students, whether they decide to write a song about this problem, or, you know, make a poster or make a short video or documentary. There may be some opportunities for them to put some arts in there. Certainly media arts is an outlet that lots of students would prefer to make a 30-second report on camera than write something down. So I probably will give the students the option to do that. Of course, I'm sort of a stickler for writing, and they will all have to write as well. So is it STEAM or isn't it? Well, I guess it depends on your definition of what STEM or STEAM education is, how you think it should be delivered, assessed, whether anecdotally or concrete knowledge, concrete demonstration of that knowledge and understanding. My guess is as good as yours here. My personal feeling is it's not, because we are really just looking at a science project, but making it more engaging by incorporating elements of other curriculum inside there. I don't really feel like this is a real STEAM project, but you are free to disagree with me. So that leaves us with just one more thing to talk about, and that is STEM versus STEAM. Why do some people have such a problem with STEAM? As I just talked about, there are ways to genuinely incorporate the arts inside a project, whether that's asking kids to demonstrate their understanding in an open-ended way so that they could do a play or song or something like that. I like to use the arts in my classroom in lots of ways. I often use plays to get content into kids, and so I could totally understand if students wanted to write a play to demonstrate their understanding to their fellow classmates. My favourite play, by the way, is looking at the first fleet and coming to Australia, and there's this great play you can do. It's actually the second fleet, but you can sort of tailor a little bit and have that conversation about shared experiences. And kids love it because, you know, there's lots of people peeing in a bucket, and there are opportunities for kids to pretend to be vomiting off the side of the, you know, they just think it's gross and amazing, and getting that idea of students being in the shoes of those people on those big boats before they have to go off and write for assessment a diary based on the experiences of somebody on a convict ship coming to Australia. So, you know, I really love that. I think it's awesome. Kids always love it, and it's a good opportunity for lots of laughs and giggles, and generally speaking, they come out with a good deal of content knowledge. So, you know, plays for me are a great way to get into a little bit of reading and covert understanding in other KLAs. So, sorry, back to the issue at hand. STEM versus STEAM. There are genuine ways to incorporate the arts into any problem-based learning experience. Absolutely. I dare anyone to challenge me on that, because I just think humans have been incorporating the arts into teaching and learning for so long. Why would we deny the opportunity for those to be inside of any project that we're going to do with students? The issue is that a lot of people say the E in STEM covers the arts. So they say engineering is designing something, and so any arts-based thing is going to have that element of design. What do you think on that? I probably don't agree. I think that the engineering part of technology, so that's the design part of technology, is often about solving a problem. And I think it's usually a fast and effective way to solve a problem. And we know that the arts are not always fast and effective. We've all seen gigantic paintings where they could have been small. We have seen art that makes us think and debate things. We've seen art that might seem quite useless to some people, but absolutely important in the cultural fabric of today's world to others. So the arts are more than just a solution to a problem. They're often about taking the long route to understanding. And so I don't really think that engineering covers all the arts. I just don't think the intent is there to persuade, engage, entertain. To me, engineering is about the solution in the quickest and most effective way possible. And so I do think that there is a place for STEAM as an acronym out there in our classrooms. Of course, feel free to disagree with me. There are so many of you out there that think that STEM more than covers it. It's just my personal belief. And because I value the art so highly, I just think that the A in STEAM is absolutely warranted. In saying that, I don't really talk about STEAM much in my room. I talk about STEM in my day-to-day working in my local teaching community. I talk about STEM rather than STEAM, because I understand that once you start putting that creative element into project-based learning, it just sort of explodes the whole process. You will have kids who, if it's art, they need to make it perfect. And you know, for a lot of reasons, we don't want that perfection in our classroom when it comes to project-based learning, because we have that time factor there that we need to get things done quickly, we need to assess quickly. And so if we start telling children we want to make it artistic and beautiful, we're just never going to have kids feel like they're ever finished. It comes back to that whole idea of prototyping, and I think that fits in really well with engineering, but perhaps doesn't resonate too well with people who really value the arts. So I'd be interested to see what you think about this issue. Are you a STEM person? Are you a STEAM person? What do you think STEM should be about? Should it be about all four learning areas? Can it be less? Have you bought a product out there that says that it is STEM education? And perhaps, you know, you might find that in a whole book of activities that are labelled STEM, that perhaps each one just has a focus on one area. The first one might be science, the next one might be tech, and so on. Do you think that there are some good products out there that we can recommend to other listeners about incorporating true STEM into a classroom. What have you done? How have you incorporated some existing projects and made them into problem-based learning with a STEM bent? Really love to hear from you. If you would like to check out the Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom page, this morning I popped up a Kickstarter video. It's about a person who's made a set of tiles which interconnect and then they move in different ways. A really great little engineering activity you could do in a makerspace or a classroom, or just give as an extension project to kids who are done with the rest of their work. There are a few other things that have popped up over the last week, including something that I found really fantastic. Some scientists who dumped a whole lot of oranges out into a desolate and barren area that had been deforested. And those oranges over time brought that area back to life. So to me, that was really exciting and comforting to think that in 10 years we can undo some of the tragic work of our communities out there. We can start to look at engineering some solutions using some cast off materials. These were oranges that were not able to be sold. And I'll be talking with my class this week about other similar things that have happened in our area. For example, the big strawberry crisis last year where strawberries were being dumped by the ton. Perhaps if that happens again, we could come up with some solutions about where to dump those so that we can, in fact, rejuvenate areas of our natural environment. So there are a few interesting things to have a look there. I try and add something most days and, you know, share with me anything you see that's of interest. There on the page, Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom. Apparently you can also send me some feedback via the app if you like to. I hope none of you have been doing that because I haven't managed to work out where that feedback would go. So feel free to test that for me this time. Have a great week. Been wonderful talking to you. Thank you.